Welcome to the Morning Struggle Podcast. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Ty, and we bring you habits of successful people. And today we're talking about
patience.
Activate. I would love to talk about laser shows first, but we don't have time. There's no time for this episode. We got to get right into it. Ready?
No laser shows?
History, science, coffee, and then we're done with an action plan. Ready, set, go. No?
How much coffee have you had
so
this morning?
So much coffee. And I don't have any patience for this morning.
Oh my goodness.
None whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You see that? You see how I played into
that was
our
very good
theme?
It's a full circle.
I'm an Came actor. Sometimes when I want to be in front of the mirror, no big deal. Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Morning Struggle Podcast.
Hey, guys.
We bring you habits, and today we're going to talk about patience.
Yes.
I have too much of it. This is because I have too much patience.
Mm-mm.
So it's how to dial down the patience.
No.
Because
no.
you're too accepting of everybody, you're too patient, almost like a Buddha.
Do we need like a self-awareness episode
like
now,
a skinny
too?
Buddha.
Like a
No? We need a self-awareness episode? I thought every episode was self-awareness.
It is. It's true. That's
All right.
True.
Well, we're going to talk about patience. How to be more patient, I'm guessing?
Yes.
Sometimes I think you pick these just because I'm doing something and you say, Ty needs to work on this, but if I tell him to work on it, he's going to get angry.
This
so
is
let's just
strategic?
Talk about it in the podcast.
Are you saying this is strategic?
Yes. I'm saying everything you do is strategic.
Absolutely.
Is that accurate?
That's accurate.
All right. Well, there you go. So we're going to talk about patience.
We are.
Everybody knows it's a good habit to have.
Yes, absolutely. And we all need better skills at patience, but I'm not going to go about it in such a way where it's like, be calm. Nope. I'm going to go your brain route because patience is a really difficult one actually to master.
Okay. So we're going to do it for real, not just being calm when everybody's yelling around you.
Yes.
That's not intentional.
Yeah.
That's just being a lump on a log. We don't want to be a lump on a log. We want to be productive.
That's right.
All right. Full of coffee this morning.
So All much right. coffee.
Well, let's get into a history segment. Then we'll get into a science segment. We'll talk about patience and how it affects the brain. We'll do a coffee review, an action plan so we can incorporate it. Ready, set, go.
This day in history.
This one's a list one. We're going with the list.
Nice.
You ready? I think there's 14, maybe even 15.
Whoa,
if we can get to it.
Your lists are getting long.
They're getting longer. They're getting more intense. And this one is about immortal animals.
What?
So look, I'm not patient because I might die tomorrow.
Okay.
But these animals that live indefinitely, some of them, maybe, we'll find out in our 15 animal list, they can be as patient as they want because they got all the time in the world.
This
if
is
you're a
not...
turtle that lives 200 years, who cares? I don't need to get over to that tree this week. It could be next month, but you're good. You
so
got all
not,
the patience.
It's not indefinite because they have a
some
timeline.
Some of them are. You
what?
Ready? So immortal was a catchy title.
Oh, that's
But here
fair.
We go. You ready? The first one, the Aldabra giant tortoise.
Oh, yes. They live a very long time.
Crazy. So 255 years confirmed
Ooh.
From the Calcutta India Zoo. But as their name suggests, they're one of the largest species of tortoise in the world. They don't reach sexual maturity until they're 30 years old.
Oh, see, like...
That's a lot of puberty.
Yeah,
that's a lot of puberty you're having growing up as a tortoise. Good thing they're so patient. But they think 255 is the oldest confirmed.
Okay.
But some scientists believe that some of these tortoises have lived twice that long.
Whoa.
And they continue to grow as they get older. Next
so is
one.
Is there like one that's the size of a VW bug?
I don't know. That's a great question.
He just walks around. He's
if
pretty
you're,
slow.
If you own a giant tortoise that's as big as a VW bug, email Jesse.
Email me.
Bedelloids. Bedelloids Ooh. Are a group of freshwater rotifers, that like the zooplankton. Plankton.
Oh, plankton.
Little plankton.
Like, I like you're saying more words I still don't understand.
Yeah. They're considered immortal because they can survive extreme conditions, mm-hmm. high heat, low temperatures, extreme pressure, and they can enter a state of hibernation and come back to life whenever they wish.
What?
Plankton, these photoplanktons, zooplanktons, uh-huh. are one of the earliest forms of life
oh, in, right, yeah.
on the planet.
So they have to be
and
tolerable.
And they haven't really been evolving. They said, okay, we're here, we're perfect, you're welcome, and whales eat them. So...
Wait. So if they don't get eaten
mm-hmm.
and they won't freeze and they won't burn up, they can just go into a hibernation state and then just keep moving forward?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Almost indefinitely. There's some that are indefinite. We're getting to them. Bowhead whales. Bowhead whales can repair their damaged DNA to last over 200 years old. And they've even found modern day bowhead whales with wounds from 1800s tools, whaling tools,
what?
Moby Dick style, like spears. Yeah. They've found wounds in some of these bowhead whales from that old.
Wait, so they repair their DNA?
They repair their DNA and it stops them from getting cancer.
Oh.
And they can also live in the absence of oxygen for a long, long time.
What?
Clams. 400 years plus.
We eat
until
clams.
You eat them at the oyster house.
Yeah, and get sick.
And get sick. Then we're good. So, but they can live over 400 years old, and they contribute this to a process called slow cell replacement. Very scientific.
Mm-hmm.
And the scientists don't even know why this happens.
Oh.
It's probably why they don't have a sciencey name for it.
That's probably
it's called slowed cell replacement. So clams are the most patient. They just sit there, siphoning the water, getting their minerals.
One cell at a time.
Lasting 400 years. And then you
Do
come along
grow?
And you shuck them.
That's right. Do they grow, too, like the turtles?
I think so. Just slowly, because it's slowed cell growth.
That is wild.
Glass sponges.
Oh.
Glass sponges. Sponges live in the ocean. Sponges are living things.
Yes, yeah.
And they mineralize and get bigger. That's mm-hmm. what they do. Kind of like coral. Coral's yeah. a good example of that. 15,000 years plus for a glass sponge. Unless
okay.
you're washing our dishes with it, because sponges only last a week and then they get gross. Or they get eaten. They get eaten by predators. And that's what sponges do, apparently.
Oh.
But they can survive up to 15,000 years. They have controlled growth in their spicules. I guess that's their mineralized structures.
Oh.
They're little tubes. They're little tubes that come up. They can control the growth. So if they need to get a little bigger, they grow. Mm-hmm. And then if they say, oh, I need to stop for a few thousand years, they just stop for a few thousand years.
So this is, so as long as the environment is conducive to them, then they can live for indefinitely.
Almost indefinitely for the
yeah.
sponges. Yep. The next one, the Greenland shark. It's the longest living vertebrae with an average lifespan of 272 years.
Whoa.
And you think tortoises take a long time in puberty.
Uh-huh.
This shark doesn't reach sexual maturity until 150 years old.
Whoa.
It's like, I'm 150 today.
Is it...
I'm finally a man.
He high-fives his other sharks.
And he high-fives the other
how,
sharks.
How is he small?
No, I mean, they're not too small. I mean, they're average size, middle size shark, it looks like.
Oh.
They can withstand intense darkness and freezing temperatures at 2,200 meters deep.
Whoa.
That is super deep and a lot of pressure
yeah.
on you. So a lot of these animals can slow themselves down, just really patient. They get in a zen-like state. They practice their meditation.
Of course,
every
day.
Get in a zen-like state,
every
and then they go into an environment where they don't belong, which the last one's going to be amazing. And we're not there yet. Hydras. Hydras are a little jellyfish thing.
Oh.
This animal shows no signs of age deterioration. So if you take a new one
uh-huh.
and a super old one, they're the same.
What?
They don't age. They generate new body cells, and so they can continue keeping themselves young forever.
Wow.
Yep. And this next jellyfish, and we'll segue into the next jellyfish, which is a Turtopsis
mm-hmm.
dorni.
Ooh.
I butchered that one. I've been practicing that one all morning, too.
And that's here we
okay.
are.
Turritopsis dorni.
Okay.
There you go. Immortal. Because when they get sick or something happens to them,
yeah.
they pop a little bit of themselves off into a pupa
uh-huh.
and then grow into themselves again.
So like a little baby?
But of themselves.
Oh.
So I get like sick and I say, ah, I'm going to rip off my right arm.
Like,
and then all of a sudden you grow out of your right arm. It's like, ooh, good.
See, I went right to that alien style where the alien comes out of the chest and...
It could be. But they go back into a non-sexual mature state.
Oh, no kidding.
And then they just keep going immortally forever. And they don't have brains. So anything that doesn't have a brain that survives pretty well is impressive. Lobsters. Did you know lobsters continue to grow and get... increase their fertility as they age.
Whoa.
So the older the lobster, the
like,
more
hey.
Attractive they are. So they just get bigger and bigger and then more sexy and more sexy. But they repair lost
sexual... Is that the scientific term?
Lobsters are the sexiest.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got a telomerase, an enzyme in their DNA, and it takes aged cells and repairs them. So essentially it reverses the aging process. That's why I eat lobster every day.
Every single day.
You yell at me because it's expensive, but I'm going to live to be 200-300 years old
easily.
Because of all my lobster eating.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how long they actually live, but 100 plus years, maybe 200 years.
No
it's
kidding.
Hard to tell because they molt their exoskeleton and they just go into a new skeleton. So you can't really test how old they are.
Mm.
Next one, lungfish. Lungfish is the oldest species of fish on the planet. and they can breathe out of water. 100 plus years. Next one, planaria. It's a worm. Worms are gross.
Worms
are gross, but they can indefinitely regenerate lost body parts.
Is that...
So you cut a little bit of the worm off, it just grows it back. Again, someone cuts off your foot. Let's say you're in a duel. Someone cuts off your foot.
In a duel. So
you're
often.
You're in a duel with a mythical little fairy that's short or something, and it cuts off your foot.
Whoa, okay.
Because if you're with like an ogre, it's going to cut off your head. I don't think these worms can die, of course.
Yeah.
But you just grow a foot back.
Right.
That would be amazing. Like a lizard tail.
So how does it, is it like you get baby foot and then the baby foot grows?
Yeah, like Deadpool, like the yeah. when you got the hand thing. Yep, so exactly. Red sea urchins, 200 plus years old. Oh. They never stop growing, but they don't get old. Same thing.
Wow.
We'll skip the rough-eyed rockfish, which is one of the longest living marine animals.
Oh.
200 plus years. And the Greeks called them magnificent, or named them after the Greek word for magnificent.
Ooh.
They are the ugliest fish you've ever seen. You should look
Give
them
it
up.
A, what was the name of it?
Rockfish.
Rockfish.
A something or other. Yeah, red rockfish.
Nice.
Nope, rough-eyed rockfish. Ooh. Their eyes are rough. Next one, Trewetta zombie bugs. So
what?
Zombie bugs look kind of like hornets, but scarier. And they are scarier because they're resilient to freezing and have special blood proteins preventing them from dying during this process. Their brains and their heart aren't freeze-proof.
Yeah.
But you can freeze them, and then once they thaw, they come back to life.
What?
You can't kill... You can't. They're immortal unless they're eaten. They just don't die until they're eaten.
So if they're not ripped apart in a digestive tract, they'll come back to life?
Yes, 100%. And the last one, these ones are the scariest ones.
Okay.
Especially if you've seen Ant-Man, the Quantum Realm one. Water bears. Or tardigrades.
Oh, yeah.
They can live like a century. They're tiny little things. Tiny little things don't live that long. Bacteria lasts a couple weeks. Whatever.
Right.
This can live hundreds of years. And the tardigrades are the little water bears.
Yeah.
They're little fat, chubby water bears.
And they just kind of float along
in the water. Yeah. They are the toughest animal on the planet.
What?
So anytime you see a chubby little cute tardigrade, don't be mistaken. You're gonna get it. You're gonna get the back end of their fist because they're not more than about 1.5 millimeters, and they can be tiny. They're different sizes. I think they continue to grow as they get older. The same thing.
Oh.
So you have a microscopic speck, and then you have one that's 1.5 millimeters.
Whoa.
Which is pretty big.
That is pretty big.
I mean, that's
big.
Visible to the human eye for sure.
Yeah.
They can survive extreme conditions like boiling water.
Okay.
Freezing water, being cut in half, drying out, or even in outer space. You can put these in outer space and they survive, which means they probably are aliens. They came on a meteor or an asteroid, the dinosaur asteroid. I don't know what it is.
Probably the dinosaur one.
Yeah, we've been traveling on this for 100 million years, and now we're here, and we're going to take over this planet. We should probably invent smartphones to keep the people tame so they don't ruin the planet as much.
Exactly.
They can tolerate extreme radiation and stop their metabolism completely, so they just indefinitely go to sleep.
Oh, and it's then like, they decide when they want to wake up?
It's like a cryptobiosis, and then they come back to life whenever they want.
They are very cute.
They are adorable. That's why we have
them
as pets.
But they're probably very deadly.
We got a bunch as pets.
We probably, because they aren't they everywhere?
They're everywhere. They're in your water. They're in your...
Oh, in my coffee?
Your coffee right now. They're I think 70% of your body is made up of tardigrades.
Don't say that.
Yep. All right, that's what I got. That's what I got for Mortal.
I'm
glad you were so patient because I went long again.
This is a very interesting list.
Everybody, email Jesse and say, Ty, you have 10 minutes in your history segment and you go over by 2 minutes every time. Ask Jesse for more time or get on the horse and start moving. All right, that's all I got for history.
Very cool.
So let's get back into patience. We'll do a science segment of what happens in your brain.
Yes.
What happens in your brain when you're trying to be patient or when you are patient?
How to make yourself more patient.
Just how to make yourself more patient by tricking your brain.
Uh-huh.
All right, that's what we do here. Trick the brain. Here we go.
Okay, so I could teach you how to be calm and how to breathe and do all that kind of stuff. But when you're about to lose it because we have lost our patience, that's not going to do us any good. So we're going to understand what the brain does when we're trying to be patient and then when we're being impulsive.
Okay, so what happens in our brain when we are trying to be calm and meditative. And then what happens in our brain? We just lose it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's two factors to this that impact how patient we actually are. One is our impulse control. So just in general, how much we can control the random things we want to do.
I want that candy bar from that kid. I'm going to push the kid down and steal it because I'm bigger than that kid.
Yep, you're going to snatch things.
Don't do it because his dad's bigger than me.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
What?
Is that impulse? That's impulse control,
that's
right?
That's impulse control, yeah. And then our expectations and predictions of a situation.
Yeah, I'm right? predicting that I'm going to get beat up by a bunch of little kids' friends. You ever been beat up by like 12, 15 little kids?
That'd be horrifying. It's terrifying. Absolutely horrifying. Okay, so on our impulse control, when we're trying to when we're trying to teach children how to be patient, we actually are using the ACC. And if you remember the ACC,
Explain it again.
Yeah, so that it's the anterior cingulate cortex. And what that is it's social involvement, social distress around behaviors that are not good for the tribe.
So it's a part of our brain that's a filter that tells us if what we're doing is going to get us kicked out of our ancient tribe and then have to go live with the lions.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So
it stops us from doing stupid social things.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So the marshmallow test is a very common one where they take little kids and if they are patient and don't eat the marshmallow, they get two marshmallows. It's the same kind of thing where socially you've told the kid, don't eat this marshmallow because you'll get two at the end, right? Mm-hmm. And that's an ACC involvement. And that actually has no logical thought. It's completely social distress and it has to do with cortisol involvement where you have an elevated amount of cortisol to get through that process.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So instead, what we do is as we grow up as adults, we start involving the prefrontal cortex. And that is our judgment, our ability to understand long-term consequences, all of that. Now, the funny thing with the prefrontal cortex, it's not actually fully developed until your mid to late 20s.
Mid to late 20s, so way after puberty, 150 for that shark.
150 for that shark.
Their prefrontal cortex is taking forever, okay?
Yeah, so it moves from the ACC into that prefrontal cortex. And that's what we're trying to do when we're lecturing our kids about the consequences and to stop and think and all this kind of thing. We're trying to get them to use a part of their brain that actually isn't developed yet.
So that's like asking a kid to bench press 225. He's just not ready to go.
Yeah, so so we want to try to do that because that's how we develop that part of the brain. But that cortisol involvement is really the big piece. And that's how we control our impulse, or we have impulse control. And with that, with the ACC involvement, we are more likely, or it's easier for us to wait for something if we think we really want it.
So it's easier for us to defer gratification if we really, really want the thing that we're going to get if we defer it?
Yes.
Okay.
However, because you're working with the ACC and not with your prefrontal cortex, you're not very good at seeing the long-term consequences. And so we're not very good at judging if we really want something or not.
So we're just worried about the social stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So if some other kid is going to take your candy, okay, but there's someone else guarding the candy, you just have to wait. Because of the social context, you're really going to want that candy, even if you actually don't really want to eat the candy.
All right. That's your more primitive brain.
Yes. That's a primitive part of the brain, right?
Okay.
Okay. So that's the first is the impulse control. And then the secondary piece of this is expectations and predictions. So we're going to sidetrack for just a second. Heinz ketchup.
Heinz ketchup. The only ketchup I eat.
Yes, they're not sponsoring this podcast, but if you would like to, email Jesse.
Email Jesse. We'd love a ketchup sponsor. It goes on everything. Potatoes, mac and cheese.
What?
Yeah, french fries. Well, that's potatoes, I guess. All right, keep going.
Two things. It goes on two things. Okay, so Heinz ketchup was trying to bring back the glass bottle. Do you remember the glass bottle where you got to tap it on the top?
I love the glass. No, you tap it from the side up.
Is that true?
You tap on the 57 on the neck of the bottle. Oh, man.
What is the trick to that?
That is the trick.
What do you do?
You tap. Oh, my God. We'll do that on a ketchup. We'll do a ketchup bottle episode. All right.
But now I'm really confused that Heinz 57. Okay, so Heinz ketchup was trying to make the glass bottles fancy because our brains now as a society is all about immediate gratification. So everything is the upside down squirt bottle.
Yep.
Right? Where we don't have to wait for our ketchup. We just go for it. they were having an issue because people didn't want to tap the bottle and go through the process mm-hmm. of it. So what they did is they came up with a whole ad campaign. Carly Simmons.
Who's Carly Simmons?
Oh my God, really? Do you not know who Carly Simmons is?
Hey, The singer?
The singer-songwriter?
I don't know. Can we sing one of her songs?
Carly Simmons. I actually was trying to sing this morning. And no, I was like, not today.
No, okay.
Not today, friends.
But Carly.
Carly Simmons has a song called Anticipation.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they actually came up with an entire ad campaign using Carly Simmons' song and with the tagline, "It's slow good."
So this was Heinz Ketchup used Carly Simmons' song.
Anticipation. Mm-hmm. And this is why. So there's the entire ad campaign. The whole idea is that the glass bottle is, it's slow good. Mm-hmm. And so we know that the glass bottle is going to take longer, right? And it's kind of part of this idea is that it's, ooh, it's fancy. It's awesome. Guess what?
What?
People like ketchup out of the glass bottle better than they do the squirt.
I 100% believe it.
Yeah.
Because people like being fancy.
Yes, I like being fancy. No, it really is. It's this anticipation. It's this idea. And what happens, the reason why this happens is the serotonin in our brain.
Ooh, we've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Serotonin is your, not your dopamine, so not your reward. What's your serotonin?
It's the feel-good hormone.
The feel-good hormone.
Yep. And it is... So this is called the patience effect. So what happens is that we have serotonin neurons in the DRN. I keep saying DNR. That's not what it is. It's DRN, dorsal raphe nucleus.
Whoa,
it's
okay.
A very specific, everything in your brain is small, but it's a very small circuit in the brain or area of the brain. And the serotonin neurons are, if they're engaged in this part of the brain, you are more patient. And this is called the patience effect.
So there's a part of our brain that rewards us for being patient.
Yes. So this is not just serotonin in the body, because that feel-good hormone, like an SSRI or something, it's not the entire brain. It's a specific part of the brain. So if we increase serotonin in the DRN,
yep.
Goodness gracious, then we our subsequent behaviors are that we are more patient and we're calmer through the process, increasing serotonin, which makes us more patient, which increases serotonin, and it wraps itself on itself.
Like a continuous cycles in its like spin cycle.
Yeah.
And so you just inject your brain with serotonin in that one little spot.
In that one spot. I'm asking you to do that. No, but we're going to, in the action plan, I'm going to tell you how to actually specifically get more serotonin in this.
How to activate it?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we can actually get into this process. But by doing this, the serotonin specifically, we have more positive predictions and expectations of whatever this is, that the ketchup is going to taste better in the glass bottle because it takes longer. And therefore, our brain really believes that it tastes better.
Because we have more serotonin flowing in our body.
Yes.
So it does actually taste better.
Yes, exactly.
Crazy.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Okay, so impulse control and then the expectations and predictions. And that's how we hack our brain. And we'll go into that in the action plan.
So we're going to hack our brain. But those are the two processes happening mm-hmm. when we have patience or deferred gratification.
Mm-hmm. Or the lack of.
Or the lack of. All
yeah.
Right.
So you're not going to have the DRN activation with serotonin. Like if you have a low serotonin in general, it's going to be harder for you to have positive serotonin enhanced predictions and expectations of things.
Makes sense.
Our outlook's going to be pretty dark. And then if we're only functioning on the ACC and there's no social context, we're absolutely going to snatch the candy from
the kid.
And then
eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is what I do every time.
Okay.
So is that the science?
That is the science part.
It's amazing.
Pretty
I love
cool.
that our brain, and it makes sense, we're, you know, machines,
mm-hmm.
but that our brain have specific processes mm-hmm. that make us do things.
Yes.
And if you can understand that, it's very easy to change it.
Yeah.
Okay, I love it. Okay,
yeah.
So we're going to do a quick coffee review.
We are.
Then we're
going to
do the action plan, mm-hmm. and we're going to rewire our brain
yes.
to be more patient.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. We'll see.
I drank pots and pots and pots and pots of strong black coffee, trying to keep my sleepy soul awake. But the sleepiness still comes along, and when it does, it's fast and strong. I end up with a bad case of the shakes.
So what are we drinking this morning?
First, I need to tell you something that's amazing. We have a winner for February.
A winner? Oh, in your raffle.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Your hat and stuff raffle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, February's
hats
winner.
And notebooks and all kinds of cool stuff.
Who won?
And for February's winner, we need the sound effect, is Kim.
Kim wins. Woo-hoo-hoo. Good job, Kim. Thanks for emailing. Did she email you?
She emailed me, and she's actually super engaging.
Oh, so she's on the newsletter.
She emailed.
She's doing all the stuff.
Yeah, like so a lot of our ideas are coming from Kim.
Hey,
so
Kim is beating all of you. So don't be too patient.
That's right.
Jump on these things so you can win a Jesse hat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, cool. Good for that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I dig Kim. She's awesome.
Okay, I like it. All right, so anyway, so Kim wins. She's going to get all that good stuff in the raffle.
Yep.
If you'd like to be in next month's raffle, tell everybody how they can.
So if you email me at themorningstrugglepodcast@gmail.com, you'll automatically get put in the raffle when you email me. But also if you sign up for the newsletter, any type of engagement, honestly.
Is there an end game to this raffle? I think you just like giving stuff away.
I do like giving stuff away.
There's no business plan for the raffle.
No.
You just like knitting hats and giving them to people.
Well, yeah.
Your end game is no cold heads. Everybody
ever.
In the world is going to be nice and toasty warm, and then they'll be nice and happy. And then we'll be more patient. It'll be easier to be more patient.
You know what? Like, it's not just knitted hats. We also have, like, the Morning Struggle gear and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
you're putting some real merchandise. We have merchandise, too.
Oh, we do, yes.
Go to themorningstruggle.podbean.com, and it's got links to our store. We got cool sweatshirts. We got cool hats. We got cool t-shirts and coffee mugs.
A little mug thing, yeah.
We got all sorts of cool stuff now. We're so professional. We're like a real company.
And I will give it to you.
And Jesse's giving stuff away for free.
Raffle. Mm-hmm.
So, not the best business model, but I'm okay with it. This isn't a business.
I love it. I'm excited.
We're just here having fun.
Well, and I just love the engagement. I love that you guys are working on these habits with us.
Yeah.
Because we're not perfect at this either. And so, it's fun doing this as, I don't know, a posse.
We love doing this. We would do this even if we weren't even plugged in. We just came in here and
talked
about...
Maybe we're not.
You might not be. We would never know. Okay, so we're drinking today coffee.
Yes, coffee today is the... So this is from Elevated Ground Coffee.
So we went to a local coffee shop.
We did, in Linden.
In Linden, Utah.
Mm-hmm.
We're in Utah.
Hey guys, we're in Utah.
We're in Utah, but we're going to start traveling.
We are going to start traveling and get hit up. So if you have any coffee shops in your area or things that you would like us to come visit, I would love to come visit your favorite coffee shop.
So we want to start traveling the United States, Canada, South America. We don't care. We're going to take our studio with us.
That's right.
So sorry, I just joked on my amazing locally brewed coffee.
But Elevated Ground, I think it's a cute name
mm-hmm.
for a coffee shop. Elevated Ground, it's cute.
It's in a little business park. We like local coffee shops.
Very much, yeah.
They usually have good coffee, great atmosphere, nice people.
Yeah.
Support your local coffee shop. Right. What is my quote?
Oh, your quote is, try writing your screenplay in a local coffee shop. It's way more artsy.
Yep. So if you're doing like a regular mainstream blockbuster, go to Starbucks. It'll just be whatever. I've seen this 1,000.
But
you want something
one,
that wins an Oscar, you go write your screenplay at a local coffee shop.
Yes. Very true. Very true.
I had the
Grasshopper.
Fourth Wall. We're not drinking it this morning because it's 5 in the morning or whatever.
Yeah. This was the other day.
The other day.
So you had it was called a Grasshopper?
I had a Grasshopper.
Mm-hmm. And they made it. It was super cute because she did a...
The leaf.
The leaf on the top.
And
yeah.
It was one of the best leaves I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Legit. It was photorealistic. Uh-huh. I think actually she just put a leaf on the top of my coffee.
It's just an actual
leaf.
She
went outside and got a leaf.
They were really nice. I realized a bias that I have, though, is that if I'm talking to a barista and we're like in the shop chatting them up, because I love baristas, I love chatting with them, I rate the coffee much higher.
Absolutely. So, you're probably getting serotonin.
Yeah, because
your ACC is all kicked on because you're socially accepted.
Mm-hmm,
and then
your
dopamine and serotonin are high, and you taste your coffee and you say, oh, I'm so glad I waited to go all the way to coffee. What's it called again?
Elevated
Grounds. Elevated Grounds.
Yep.
For my coffee
mm-hmm.
because my deferred gratification gave me more serotonin.
Yep, exactly. So I had the dark roast because that's the only coffee that I drink.
Mm-hmm.
And you went all fancy with the Grasshopper.
Because I'm fancy and you have no soul. And so
what?
So what did we give it?
On average, it was 3.8.
3.8.
Mm-hmm. And it was really good. So the aroma obviously was good. Acidity is good. I mean, it's kind of down the barrel.
Yeah. And remember, middle, but... like a 3 is average. Mm-hmm. Chain coffee.
Yep. So like the aroma we both gave 4s.
Yeah.
The acidity. Yeah. It was a 3-4 body, 3-4 flavor and taste, 4-4.
Wow. I'm so glad we put numbers to these that are completely non-arbitrary.
What are you talking about?
So, but anyway, yeah, it was good. Go take, if you're ever in Linden, Utah, go look them up.
Yeah, it's a good one.
They're in a little business park. It's fun.
It would be dangerous if I had an office in that little business park right next to him, because it's so cute. I would go and get coffees like 3 times a day. It'd be so bad.
I know, your heart would explode.
It would just...
For sure. All right. Yep. So there you go. That's coffee review.
Yes.
Now let's get back into patience and do an action plan and learn how to hack our brains.
Let's hope you make the most of it, my boy.
Okay, so I'm going to say some common sense things here, and then I'm going to tell you actually how to make this work.
So this is the part where you say, assess where you're at right now.
Kind of. But so if you are calmer, then you are increasing your impulse control. You have a less long-term cortisol, which then makes better, more logical decisions using that prefrontal cortex, or at least exercising it. So as it develops, and then you can actually problem solve to the situation.
I like it.
Yeah. So that's what our goal is. As you think more positively of the world, so more positive expectations and predictions, increases your serotonin in the DRN, and then your subsequent behaviors are more favorable, like you have more patience, you're more polite, things like that, which creates more positive outcomes, and it wraps on itself.
Okay, so that's what we're going for.
That's what we're going for. That's the goal. So there's two parts of this. First, you need to practice patience, and it sounds a little silly. It kind of goes back to like, be calmer, but you're going to be frustrated. You're absolutely, that part of your brain's going to be engaged because the world is very unpredictable and difficult at times, right?
What we've realized in this podcast, what I've realized in this podcast is all of these things are skills that can be learned, but anything that can be learned needs practice.
Yes.
Why can't just things come to me naturally? This is ridiculous.
Oh my goodness.
But okay, you have to practice patience. How do you do that?
Yeah, so you have that initial reaction. Okay, I want you to stop and breathe. You're going to try to use some sort of calming coping
And we talked skill. About breathing. You actually have a parasympathetic response when you take a big breath.
Yes.
So it's not just, I'm breathing to center myself.
Yeah.
I am breathing for a chemical release in my brain that's going to slow me down.
Specifically with the exhale.
Right.
So as you are pushing all of that, you're pushing out all that air, that parasympathetic responds, and then your whole entire body chills out a little bit so you can be more logical.
Okay, so I get mad. I take that big, long, deep breath.
Yep.
Okay, I push it out.
You push it out, and then we want to focus on what you can control.
Okay. You bring your locus of control
back
to you.
Inside. Because the environment is not what we want to give all of our action to.
Right.
Because the outside world is very unpredictable. But we can always control our behaviors. And so you're bringing that locus of control back in. And we're going to assess what we can actually control in that actual situation, which may only be you.
Okay, so your kids are screaming, or your roommate ate your leftover food. Whatever it is, take your big breath and focus on what you can control.
Yep. So I like the roommate ate your food situation. Yeah, so
put a lock on the fridge. It's easy. Done. I'm the most patient guy in the world.
Well, and then you want to move into logic, because we want that prefrontal cortex to be exercised. And I want you to think about what your actual goal is. So like with your roommate eating your food, is it to make sure that your roommate doesn't eat your food? Or is it to make sure that you maintain a good roommate relationship?
Probably the food. Probably the food one.
So we want to come back to what our actual goal is. Like, if your kid is having a meltdown, for example, it's really hard not to be like, listen, kid, and get frustrated and all of that, right?
Because you're embarrassed. And I realize that if you have kids, if your kid's having a meltdown, no other parent there is saying, what a bad parent.
No.
Everybody says, oh, I remember those days. Yeah. Thank goodness my kid's not having a meltdown.
Like currently.
Currently.
It could happen later, but currently.
Yep.
And that's that ACC. Whenever we have that engagement where we're embarrassed or we're like, oh, I don't know what to do, or I feel out of control, that's ACC involvement. We want to try to get that prefrontal cortex on board. And that's where we figure out an actual goal. So if your kid is tantruming a lot, the goal is probably to help them figure out how to manage their behavior better. Because as an adult, if you tantrum like that, things go really bad for
you.
Right? And that's our goal. So coming back to the actual goal, not what you want to see happen.
Okay. So the long-term goal, that deferred gratification goal.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's this cycle over and over. Nice deep breaths, trying to engage your prefrontal cortex. Recognize that your brain wants to go to the ACC. That's the quickest reaction. And that oftentimes keeps us safe. If we run from the bear, you know,
doesn't eat us.
Yeah, right? Okay. We get to continue to exist. So we're trying to move into that prefrontal cortex. Okay?
Makes sense.
So that's that basic process, three steps. Do it. It'll help you practice that so that you can have better impulse control, and then it wraps on itself. Now, the serotonin, that was the other element, right, of this prediction. So if you actually think the world is an okay place, you have increased serotonin, and then you have better outcomes.
So you are what you think,
mm-hmm.
just like you are what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous.
Isn't this ridiculous?
But
so
it works.
Here's the things that you can do on, like, on the sidelines to make it so your serotonin is higher in the DRN, so that you have better reactions, therefore you have better outcomes.
All right.
Should
tell us how.
Understand your real goals, same kind of thing, but I want you to sit down and think about it. So
should we write it down with a pencil?
Yes, because of the pressure points and the weight of it. Yes.
The pencil episode, if you want to listen to it.
Absolutely, go back. It's a good one, and I love pencils so much. So write down what your actual goals are, especially if you have a particular point that is making you frustrated. That comes up a lot. You have more impulse or less patience, is what we'll say. How would you like to react in that situation? You need to take care of yourself and learn how to properly cope, just in general. So this is therapy, journaling, breathing, walking, meditation, the things that help us kind of balance out our stresses. You need to do this on a regular basis, not just when you lose it.
That's where the practice comes in.
Mm-hmm, 'cause you're practicing that sequence of events so that when it actually comes up, your brain just falls into it. Muscle memory. It's a muscle memory type of deal. I almost died. It's okay. Now check with your dietitian or your doctor, but high protein foods actually increase serotonin as well.
So eat more protein, not necessarily non-vegetarian, more protein.
Yeah. More protein in general. And you can look up, you know, just give that a quick Google. Do check with your dietitian and your doctor if you have dietary stuff,
protein.
Yeah.
The one of the three macros that keeps people alive.
No, but like if you don't want to overdo it or only eat. All I eat is red meat.
You're only too buff.
That's right. It's not. No. But it's a good way to increase serotonin. Same with exercise. It increases serotonin. 10 to 15 minutes of sunshine, even if it's cloudy outside. Or being outside when the sun should be up. The rays of sun actually do still hit you.
And you can test that with the transition lenses. If you have transition sunglass lenses and it's cloudy, they'll still get dark because the ultraviolet radiation goes right through those clouds.
Yeah, and that's why you should still wear sunscreen if it's cloudy.
What? We have to wear sunscreen now too? There are so many things we have to do with this podcast.
Anyway, but 10 to 15 minutes does increase your serotonin. Okay. And what we're trying to do here is increase general serotonin because I can't have an injection right in that DRN. But if you increase the general serotonin, not only does it make you happier, like life, where your sense of well-being, so happiness is vague, but that sense of well-being, serotonin helps with all of it, but also it makes it so your patience is increased as well.
Okay.
Help others when you see that needs to happen, or go out of your way and talk to them and be curious about things. Now, we've actually done this with our children where we've asked them to go talk to not strangers like Stranger Danger, but
at
kids.
Lunch,
yeah.
Find kids who are sitting alone and go ask them a bunch of questions.
Yeah, be genuinely curious about their existence.
It's amazing how happy they are when they come home.
Yes.
Is that what's going on in their brains?
It's the serotonin bump.
Okay.
They actually, because their ACC goes, we're accepted. Even if it's a rejection, like the other day, the kid just walked off.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, okay, that's fine. I'll find another kid.
Right.
And this idea of the serotonin it's like a serotonin bath. When you have engagement with another person and you're genuinely interested about their existence, not just yours.
Just impressing them with all the stuff that you do.
Yeah, but look at this cool flip I can do.
Yep.
You
flips. but no, it makes sense.
Yeah, so you get this nice serotonin brain bath, if you will.
Okay.
And then I want you to visualize and meditate on how you'd like to act in the future. So this is a direct problem solving type skill. So if every single time you go to the grocery store and your kid loses it in the candy aisle, how would you like to act? Because if every single time I'm like dragging my kid back into the cart and getting out of there and being super embarrassed, that is purely ACC and there's no serotonin involvement.
Right.
So I want you to, that's part of your problem solving, be like, I'm going to be calm. I'm going to use these skills. I'm going to do these different things. And therefore you're exercising your brain. So when that situation comes up, boom, muscle memory right into it.
Right. Yeah. If you know what's going to happen, when you're caught off guard with things, you react.
Mm-hmm.
If you've already planned for what happens, you can act.
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. I get it. These are common sense things, but they just take practice.
Yeah. And if you do these on a regular basis, if your serotonin is higher in general, you see the world as a better place and you have better expectations of the world, then obviously your serotonin is bigger. You act differently because your behaviors are, the world's an okay place. Your serotonin continues to increase and it wraps on itself. Therefore, you can use that prefrontal cortex more often and then not fall back on an ACC.
I like it. Let's recap the bullet points.
Oh, yes.
So
okay.
Number one.
So this is...
No. These are bullet points.
No. So
the... bullet point number no. one. You're so not the... doing your segment again.
No, the issue... Stop and breathe.
So whatever happens, stop and breathe.
Focus on what you can control. That's locus of control.
Bring that locus of control back to you.
Mm-hmm. And then know what your actual goal is.
Those are the three. And then you practice it over and over again. Kind of visualize what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So when you go into work and your cubicle mate takes off their shoes, you know it's coming.
Yep, they're doing it.
I mean, you could be patient. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can take off your shoes too. You guys can have a foot party. Who knows?
Foot party.
Who knows? I'm brainstorming here.
Mm-hmm. No, but you're exercising your brain and then increase your serotonin in whatever way that on the list that I'm not going to recite, but increase that serotonin because it makes everything better.
All right. So there you go. So if you want more patience, you got to practice.
Yes.
Practice patience makes perfect. All those P's popping in the microphone. All right. I think it says that if we got our action
plan.
That's
what we got.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for joining us today. I hope this was beneficial. You can visit the website. It's in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for letting us do this.
You guys are so great.
I'm going to practice patience. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it today. Today's the day I'm going to be more patient.
I love it.
I have a real hard time with this one.
Well, and I think it can be hard because we do react and we do get frustrated, right? So we want to, if we're conscious of it and say, I'm going to react differently, boom, this is how you do it.
And I want all the marshmallows all the time, no waiting. But I'll get better. And hopefully you're getting better too. So let's all go out there and
build a better you.
Thanks, guys.